You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Monday, November 29th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we are going to talk about, some of the stuff that sent Orioles fans ablaze over the past week, and that is potential trade rumors involving two of the Orioles stars, Cedric Mullins and John Means, and specifically the talk about Mullins over the weekend. I'm going to get into why, yes, those reports are true that the Orioles are listening to offers, but why it's not necessarily news, and why John Means and Cedric Mullins are not being traded this offseason. Then, going to get to a little bit of news surrounding the Orioles coaching staffs at the minor league level. The O's have made some promotions along with the hirings they've made over the past couple of weeks and brought in some new faces on the minor league staff, and we will get to some of those guys in just a second. And then we'll finish up the pod talking about MLB free agency and why things are moving so fast, all the players who signed on Sunday, and why this has to do with that deadline coming up for the lockout if there's no CBA by Wednesday of this week. But we'll get to all that and more on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast. But before we get there, just did want to thank you for making Locked On Orioles your first listen of the day. Locked On Orioles is free and available on all podcast listening platforms. And remember, Locked On Orioles is the only daily Orioles podcast out there, especially here in the off season. We are still bringing you content 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. You wake up, there is a brand new episode of Locked On Orioles in your inbox that very morning. We plan to post 5 a.m. Eastern time every day, Monday through Friday, a brand new episode of Locked On Orioles. So if you're liking what you're hearing here on the podcast, tell your friends, tell your fellow Orioles fans, tell everyone you know to subscribe to Locked On Orioles, like, follow the pod on your favorite podcast listening platform. And specifically, if you do listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure to give us a rating and a review on that Apple Podcasts app. That really helps out the pod a lot. But once again, wanted to thank you for making Locked On Orioles your first podcast listen of the day. And for your first listen today, well, let's get to the thing that, you know, as I heavy sigh here, Orioles fans, especially on Twitter and on social media, have been talking about a whole lot over the past couple of days. And that is, you know, really John Means and Cedric Mullins, but mostly Cedric Mullins, being reported by different writers, by Buster Olney and by John Heyman, that the Orioles are listening to offers on these two players. And it caused a national crisis, it seemed like, when news came out that the Orioles were listening to offers from other teams on John Means and Cedric Mullins. I mean, you know, the blast came on against the Orioles once again, saying the O's are never going to get out of this rebuild. What is Mike Elias doing? They're just trading every player after they show any semblance of being a solid major leaguer, and the O's are just going to be in this cycle forever. Here's the thing. First of all, the people who cover the Orioles on a daily basis, Rock Kabako of Masson, Dan Connolly of The Athletic, and others, have already talked about these rumors and said they have talked to people. Rock even used the quote, "cold water has been poured on all of these rumors by his sources." Dan Connolly talked about how this is pretty similar to what the Orioles have done in previous offseasons. They have these giant asking prices on guys, and yes, they'll listen, but nobody can get anywhere close to their asking price, and they don't trade their star players. And that's what I wanted to get to on today's episode, kind of the main focus of today, because yes, the Orioles are listening on John Means, and yes, they are listening on Cedric Mullins. But that is how you conduct business. And that's, you know, even past the point of the fact that the Orioles are a rebuilding team who are trying to move upward in this rebuild, hoping to get closer and closer to winning baseball. But they have traded players over the last couple of years. We know this. There's a long list of guys they've traded. Yes, they are listening on guys. They've traded guys before. They'll trade some more guys. But here is the big point here. This is not news. It is true. It is not a lie, but it's not news. The Orioles last offseason, as we know, listened to offers on guys like Trey Mancini and guys like John Means. But as we also know, the Orioles had such a high asking price, especially on Means last offseason after he finished 2020 so strong after, you know, the great year in 2019. The asking price was so astronomical that teams called, teams inquired, teams said what they'd be willing to offer. And the Orioles said no to every single one. That is exactly what is happening again here. And I saw a good point made on Twitter this week. I apologize. I can't remember who exactly put it out there. I know John Shepard was putting out a lot of good points. It may have been him who said, if the Orioles were unwilling to budge, and it could have been for a factor of reasons, but you know, many, many different reasons, on the guys like Paul Fry and Tanner Scott at this year's trade deadline. You know, we figured the Orioles would trade one of those guys, and they did not trade really any of their relievers at the deadline this year. And you have to figure they just didn't get the package they were looking for on any of those guys. If the price tag was too high for the Orioles to budge on a guy like Tanner Scott, what makes you think someone is going to come with the correct price tag to get a guy like Cedric Mullins, a guy who just got MVP votes, a guy who was most valuable Oriole, a guy who had one of the best offensive seasons of this century for an Orioles hitter, a guy who was a breakout player this year, a guy who has not even reached arbitration yet. You know, he's barely making any money to be this good for the Orioles, to be, you know, about a six war player here in 2021, the guy who you can stick into center field and cement that position, hopefully, for years to come. What makes you think that if the Orioles weren't budging on guys like Scott and Fry, that they are going to trade Cedric Mullins? Here's where I go back to on this. People just saying that the Orioles are listening on these players, while it is true, does not mean that the Orioles are going to trade off John Means and Cedric Mullins. The way the O's do business, the way any team does business, you listen to offers on anybody. If someone calls you, if Mike Elias gets a phone call from another GM in Major League Baseball, he answers the phone. And if that GM says, hey, Mike, I'd like to talk about Cedric Mullins, here's what I'm willing to offer. Mike Elias does not tell that guy to F off and hang up the phone. That is not how you do business. Because a month down the road, Mike Elias may need to do business with that same GM. A month, a year, two, 3 years down the road. Maybe when the Orioles are good. Maybe in a couple years, the Orioles are looking to trade four players from that same GM's team. You don't tell another GM to F off and then hang up the phone. You listen to the offer. And maybe that's a very simplistic way to put it. And, you know, you can still not listen to offers, I guess, without doing exactly that. But you want to listen. Because I'm saying right now, affirmatively, the Orioles are not trading John Means or Cedric Mullins this offseason. Now, I'm not going to put Trey Mancini in that category because much different circumstances. He's in the last year of his contract, arbitration, $8 million number, blah, blah, blah. They could definitely trade Trey Mancini. But for John Means and Cedric Mullins, the guys whose names have come up in these reports over the last week, the Orioles are not trading these guys. They're so controllable. They're still young. They're stars on this team. They're not costing the Orioles a lot of money. They are not going to trade them. But what you want to do if you're Mike Elias is you want to hear what teams are really willing to give up. Because as we've heard for the last couple of years on players like John Means, and you can put the exact same thing on Cedric Mullins after his great year, the Orioles are putting together a giant price tag on those guys. Now, everybody has their price in Major League Baseball. You know, teams are willing to trade guys if that price comes along. But we know the Orioles have these high price tags on guys like Means and Mullins. But when you have a high price tag, that means there's something that can be met where a potential deal could come. But for the Orioles, that price is so astronomically high that an opposing team is not going to give up its entire farm plus major leaguers to get Cedric Mullins. Yes, he had an incredible season. Yes, he was a six war player. Yes, he got as high as fourth place MVP votes in the American League. But here's the other thing. He did it for one season. It was one great full season. But if you look back to what Cedric Mullins did before that, on 2019, just 2 years ago, he was the starting center fielder on opening day, and he finished the year in Double A. In 2020, he started the year with a long stretch without getting a hit. You know, this is 1 year so far for Cedric Mullins. Another team is not going to match that price tag for the Orioles. And on the flip side, you can have the argument that, hey, on the Orioles side, Cedric Mullins' value may never be higher. Maybe this was just kind of a blip on the radar with a great season. And maybe if a team gets kind of close to your asking price, you bring that price down a little bit and you trade him because you think he'll never be as good as he was in 2021. And maybe he won't be. But the Orioles know what that price tag is for Mullins now that he's had this great season. They know what the price tag is for Means now that he's had, you know, a couple of back-to-back great seasons and is the ace of the Orioles staff. If a team wants to come and give the Orioles whatever that price tag is, whether it be, you know, four of their five, you know, top prospects and, you know, a couple of good major leaguers, or it's their top two prospects and two, you know, solid major league ready guys, or whatever that price tag may be, I don't think other teams are willing to go to that stage to get a guy like Cedric Mullins, who's done it once, or a guy like John Means, who frankly has had inconsistencies. You know, he was an all-star in 2019, then he struggled in, you know, the second half that year. He was really bad at the beginning of 2020, then he got good. He was great early in 2021 through the no-hitter, then got injured, then came back, then struggled, then finished stronger, but still hasn't had a consistently good full Major League Baseball season. And with the caveats on those guys, teams aren't going to pay what the Orioles probably have that price tag set at. But on the off chance that they would be willing to, you have to listen if you're the Orioles. And even if there is some crazy price tag, say for Cedric Mullins, it is you want the top three prospects plus a major league player from a good system and a good team. You want their top three prospects plus you want a player that you can plug in right in center field at the majors and give you solid production to replace Mullins. That's a pretty high price tag. You know, maybe it's top three prospects plus a solid center field option plus a major league pitcher as well. Maybe that's the Orioles price tag for Cedric Mullins. I don't think anyone's given that up. And you want those three prospects to be from a good system as well. You know, it's a couple of top 100 guys, let's say. But on the off chance that a team comes with that offer, they say, you know, here's our top three prospects. Two of them are top 100 guys. Here's a legitimate major league outfielder that you can put in center field and have success. And here is a major league starting pitcher to put in your rotation as well. We're giving you all that for Cedric Mullins. You have to be willing to listen, if you're Mike Elias, on the off chance that that offer comes. Because let me tell you, I do not want the Orioles to trade Cedric Mullins at all, and I don't think they will. And no matter what the return would be for Cedric Mullins, I would go on this podcast the next day if that trade actually happened, and I would be upset with Mike Elias, and I'd be angry, and I would be frustrated and sad that the Orioles have traded Cedric Mullins and all those things. Same thing goes for John Means in the same situation. But there comes a price tag where what you get back for Cedric Mullins helps your team more than just having Cedric Mullins. And if Mike Elias felt that he was going to get that from a team, maybe he would pull the trigger. And he's only going to know if that price tag and that return is ever going to come from another team if he listens. You can't just hang up the phone on other teams. That is not how you conduct business in Major League Baseball. So you know what? If another team calls Mike Elias and says, hey, I want to talk about Cedric Mullins, and Mike Elias says, okay, and then that other team says, here's what we're willing to give up for Cedric Mullins. And Elias says, sorry, I'm looking for more than that. And that's the end of the conversation. And that team, someone in the office, goes to John Heyman or Buster Olney and says, hey, we have talked to the Orioles about Cedric Mullins. They listened to trade offers. And John Heyman reports the Orioles are listening to trade offers. Guess what? John Heyman's right. The Orioles did listen to offers. This team did call them and actually talk about Cedric Mullins. But on the flip side, Mike Elias did what he needed to do. He kept that relationship open, and he did not trade Cedric Mullins because they weren't close to meeting what he thinks Mullins is worth. That is how it works for players across the league. There were reports on Sunday that the Yankees were listening to offers for Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo, a guy who they traded for at the trade deadline this year, an all-star outfielder who was fantastic for the Rangers. The Yankees gave up a good number of good prospects to the Rangers to get Joey Gallo. He played a half season in New York. He wasn't great down the stretch for the Yankees. You know, had a pretty bad couple of months there at one point. Just wasn't as good as he had been in a Rangers uniform. And the Yankees are listening to offers after one half season. That is the same thing the Orioles are doing for Cedric Mullins. But here's the difference. It sounds like the Yankees are actually willing to move Joey Gallo. I don't think it's happening with Cedric Mullins, but either way, that just shows the point. Every team does this with their players. I don't think the Angels are listening to offers on Mike Trout or Shohei Ohtani. I don't think the Blue Jays are listening to offers on Vladdy Jr. But Cedric Mullins is not those players, not have the track record of those players, is not, you know, that kind of guy who is a Major League Baseball superstar and has shown it year in, year out. But maybe Mullins will be that. We have to see after this one great year. Hopefully it turns into two, three, four, five great years and beyond. But the Orioles are listening because that's what they're supposed to do, and that's what they need to do to keep this thing churning, but they are not trading Cedric Mullins. And everyone just needs to take a step back and just not everything is Mike Elias needs to be put in jail because he listened to another GM, talked to him about Cedric Mullins, and said no. He is doing his job. And I've been critical of Michael Elias as well for a lot of things, including not spending, you know, enough money on the major league team, not putting a major league product together over the last couple of years where, yes, you know, you needed to revamp it, but you still could have put up a better major league product that, hey, you know, doesn't make the playoffs, but can, you know, win 70 baseball games and, you know, be more competitive while still rebuilding the farm system. Very critical of him on that. I think he didn't need to cut underslot deals with some of the guys he did. Been critical of him on that as well. But overall, you don't need to jump on him every time he listens to another GM who he needs to maintain a relationship with because he's going to do deals with him in the future. That is not the thing to get on Michael Elias about. And all the national writers saying the Orioles are never going to come out of this rebuild. They're going to trade everybody again and again. He's just listening. They've done it every offseason. He hasn't traded a major piece of the Orioles. Let me say that again. Mike Elias has not traded a major Orioles piece. He hasn't had a lot of Orioles major pieces to begin with because Dan Duquette had, you know, traded them all before Mike Elias got there. But he hasn't traded any of these guys. He's traded the Jose Iglesiases and, you know, the Dylan Bundys. I'd say Bundy was probably the biggest name that he has traded. And so far we've seen it's been a good return for him. And Bundy's been wildly inconsistent with the Angels since leaving the Orioles. He hasn't done this yet. It's not like he's continuing to do it. He's trading, you know, fringe pieces to try to get back some minor league talent. He's not trading Means. He's not trading Mullins. He's just doing his job. And there's a lot of people that just need to get that through their head that not everything Mike Elias does is a crime. He is trying to make this organization better. He is not perfect. He has done things I do not like, and I've said that on this podcast again and again, but this is conducting business in Major League Baseball. It's nothing more. It's nothing less. Cedric Mullins will be in center field for the Orioles on opening day, and John Means will be on the mound, and that is that. And Orioles fans, you just got to drop it. I know it's frustrating that the Orioles aren't involved in these free agency talks and signing all these guys as other players are. I'm as frustrated as you are, but that doesn't mean that the conversation becomes the Orioles are never going to win a baseball game again and we're trading Cedric Mullins for a bucket of baseballs. It's not happening. Let's just drop it there. But of course, there is some other Orioles news. Some new minor league coaches and some promotions at the minor league level. Wanted to get to that coming up next because some interesting names are moving around in the system. That's coming up after the break. So we'll get to chatting about some of those Orioles minor league coaching changes in just a second. But first, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Well, as we're back here on Locked on Orioles, I can promise everyone my rant is over, at least for now. There's going to be more rants coming up because guess what? You listen to me talk on a podcast here for 30 minutes a day, and I'm going to have rants like that, but that's how I feel. But let's move on to some other things. Hey, if you agree, awesome. If you don't, awesome. I hope you continue to listen. Let me know your thoughts if you're on the other side of this argument. But let's try to keep it to a minimum because I've seen a lot of people's thoughts over the last couple of days. I just need a cleanse from the Mullins and Means trade talk at this point. So to cleanse, let's turn to the minor league level for the Orioles, where there have been some coaching changes made over the last weeks and really months. This is something we've talked about kind of periodically here on the podcast throughout the end of the regular season and in the offseason as these moves have been made. And obviously, we know the biggest coaching news for the Orioles, of course, was first bringing Brandon Hyde back as their manager for next year, and then hiring the two new co-hitting coaches, Matt Borgschalte and Ryan Fuller, of course, promoting Fuller from the AA hitting coach job in Bowie, hiring Borgschalte from the Twins organization where he was the AAA hitting coach, and bringing them together to be co-hitting coaches. But there's also been more movement in the Orioles system as well because they released some coaches. We talked about on a previous episode. We had John Mioli of the Baltimore Sun on to to talk about that, but they've also added coaches in the previous weeks as well, and they have promoted some guys from within. That is where I wanted to start with those promotions, because Rakabako of MassinSports.com reported, and he had a lot of other people confirm, and the team confirm as well over the weekend, that the Orioles have made some promotions in their minor league staff. And the first one is the big one. It is official. Buck Britton will be moving up to AAA, and he will be the manager of the AAA Norfolk Tides in 2022. Now, this is something we saw coming. You know, Britton has been kind of the crown jewel of the Orioles minor league system in terms of the coaching, and he did a great job as the manager in AA Bowie this year. And the Orioles moved on from Gary Kendall, who was their AAA manager for the past couple of years, had been in the Orioles organization for almost 20 years as a minor league coach, and they got rid of him this offseason. It seemed like, you know, the door was open for Britton. We knew they offered him the AAA manager job, and it turns out he has accepted. So Buck Britton will be up in AAA. He's already managed the Shorebirds and the Bay Sox over the last couple of years. Of course, is the older brother of Zach Britton. Buck, who, you know, played in the Orioles system, was a 35th round pick of the Orioles back in 2008, and played the minor league system for six seasons with the Orioles, then went over to the Dodgers system for a bit, then came back to the Orioles as a coach. So it is great to have Buck Britton go to AAA. And, you know, the reason I wanted to mention this first and say it's the most important, because, you know, he won the award for top, you know, developmental coach in the Orioles system this year. He's done a great job with Bowie in both 2019 and 2021. Back-to-back years, been the best minor league team in the Orioles system with so many great prospects, developing so well on that AA roster. And, you know, with Brandon Hyde coming back, but just for on a one-year contract, it looks like, for Hyde for the 2022 season to manage the big league ball club, we've talked a lot about, you know, is Buck Britton kind of the manager in waiting for the Orioles? And when the O's are ready to try and win again with these young players, that they would promote the young manager in Buck Britton to lead those guys at the major league level. And I can honestly say, I don't know, but I don't think it's a bad idea. And I think if the Orioles find out after the completion of the 2022 season that maybe Brandon Hyde is not exactly the right guy, and I still think the jury's out on that. I personally like Brandon Hyde, but I could see the Orioles going another direction. I think Buck Britton maybe could be that guy, and him going up to manage AAA next season is just another step in that process. He'll have some top Orioles prospects there. He'll have the guys coming down on that Norfolk-Baltimore shuttle, and he'll be one step closer to Baltimore. And who knows what will be next for Buck Britton after 2022, especially if Hyde's contract is not renewed. But this seems to be converging on, you know, if Hyde is not the guy, I would say then that would mean Buck Britton is the guy for the Orioles. We're almost kind of in that spot where if it is Brandon Hyde, that's great. The Orioles believe in him. They extend him once again. But if it's not Brandon Hyde, it almost doesn't feel like there'd be a big search, and the Orioles might just turn right to Buck Britton. Maybe, you know, Britton is their manager in 2023 and beyond. But we will see, as obviously he was, you know, the biggest number one name to get moved up. Kyle Moore is going to be the guy who is replacing Buck Britton. Moore was the manager in single A, in high A, with the Aberdeen Ironbirds in 2021, and he will be bumped up to that double A manager position. Moore has been in the Orioles system since 2015. He was with Delmarva for 2 years. Then he was the hitting coach for Frederick for a couple of years. He was the manager of the Ironbirds at the short season level in 2018. He was the Shorebirds manager at low A in 2019, and then the Ironbirds manager once again, but this time at the high A level in 2021. And now Kyle Moore, who played baseball at Alabama, is up to the double A level, a really important spot in the Orioles system. And they definitely believe in Moore, a guy who, you know, was not exactly an Elias guy. You know, he's been here since 2015, since the previous regime, but that's big news that the Orioles are keeping him around to manage the double A team. And then Felipe Rojas Alou Jr., who was the director of the Dominican Republic Academy for the Orioles and still is, looks like he will manage single A Delmarva. So the Orioles haven't named a new Ironbirds manager yet, but we do know that Alou is going to manage the Shorebirds, which is a nice promotion, and I think a really good spot for him because, you know, as the director of that Dominican Academy, he's worked with a lot of players in the Dominican Summer League, those players who have come up to the Florida Complex League, and those players who have continued to have success from the Dominican Summer League to the Florida Complex League, their next step is heading to Delmarva. And a lot of those players who we've heard their names of here and again the last couple of years will be in Delmarva in 2022. And they're going to see a familiar face in Felipe Rojas Alou Jr. when they get there next season. I think a really good move for the Orioles. Now, they obviously had to make a change in Delmarva as well. And Dave Anderson, who was the Shorebirds manager this year, he is out. The Orioles have let him go from the organization. And so with Anderson out, Alou comes in. And then there are some other coaching hires the Orioles have made over the past few days and weeks. And the most interesting one I wanted to talk about is Jalen Ferguson is back in the organization. Ferguson, an outfielder who the Orioles took in the ninth round of the draft back in 2015. The O's actually released him in 2021 in the middle of the season. He was up in Double-A Bowie, but was really struggling. He got released by the O's. And it's nice to see him back. So instead of, you know, signing elsewhere and continuing to play, he's going to come back as a hitting coach in the Florida Complex League. And the FCL will be a hitting coach for one of the two teams the Orioles have down there next season. And definitely cool to keep these guys like Jalen Ferguson, who didn't quite make it in terms of the playing career, getting to the major league level, to come right back into the organization as a coach. You always love to see that. In terms of the other hires, Orioles have hired Julian Gonzalez as a hitting coach for the Dominican Summer League. Not a lot of information on kind of his career before, but he got a lot of kind words on Twitter when he put that out. A lot of other people in the kind of hitting coach community talking about such a great guy and a great hire for the Orioles. So that's always something that you want to see when the Orioles are hiring minor league coaches. But that wasn't it as well. They've kind of been fairly busy over the last couple of weeks, kind of bringing in periodically different guys to help out this system. Another one was Colin Murray, who the Orioles hired to be a development coach in the Orioles organization. Not exactly sure yet what his role will specifically be in the system, but you know, he has had an interesting path here as well. Murray, who played at Elon and was a 2019 graduate, then went and got his master's at Georgia Southern, and he has kind of jumped around, interestingly enough. So he was a sales executive with the Marlins, then he was a minor league video guy for the Angels, then he went and worked in the South Florida Collegiate Baseball League, and then he was the grad assistant for Georgia Southern this season, in the 2021 season, worked a lot with their data collection, implementation, created an R application, which was about player trends, strengths, and weaknesses on the baseball field. Very cool to see. Then he was a baseball information assistant with the Tigers for this year after the season ended. And then he got his first, you know, legitimate, you know, full-time job in baseball, was with the Orioles as a development coach. So a pretty cool kind of rise there for Colin Murray. And I think a really interesting hiring by the Orioles there. And that's the other thing about these guys. You know, they're not all, you know, former player, you know, stops playing minor league baseball, becomes a coach. You know, a lot of these guys that the Orioles have brought in have come through interesting paths. And we talked about even that with Ryan Fuller and Matt Bourque-Schulte being hired as the co-hitting coaches for the Orioles. But it's where the game is trending in terms of, you know, how teams are hiring coaches these days. And I like that the Orioles are kind of staying with that trend and, you know, looking a little bit outside the box to bring in guys to help their minor leaguers. And the last guy I wanted to mention was a hire from a couple weeks back, but that is Forrest Hermann, who has been hired as the pitching coach at High A Aberdeen, who was hired into the Orioles system, and just another guy that got so much praise from kind of the, you know, baseball coaching community. He was a minor league pitching coach with the Reds for the last couple of years, worked with the Mariners in 2019 as a pitching strategist. He was one of these guys who came from one of those independent places called Premier Pitching Performance, where he worked for a few years. He pitched at Evansville as well. So these guys that they're hiring from outside the box, the Orioles continue to do so, and kind of beefing up this minor league coaching system. But one more segment to get through here on this episode, as we're going to talk a bit about, when we come back, just Major League free agency in general, what's going on with all these flurries of moves that happened on Sunday, and why they're happening now with the looming CBA deadline on Wednesday. So we'll get to that chatter about MLB free agency and more in just a second. But first, it's here. The best Monday of the year. That is Cyber Monday. And Built.com is the place to aim your mouse. Get at least 20% off everything delicious and healthy. That's 20% off site-wide, and even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. A brand new Built Bar flavor has landed just in time for Cyber Monday as well, and that's Caramel Almond Delight. And it delivers everything it promises. Caramelized chocolate, check. Almonds, check. Delightful, double check. Be sure to get yours before they're gone. It's got only 150 calories and 17 grams of protein. And this season, maybe you're craving white chocolate. Well, for a limited time, get a special new Built Bar Puffs flavor, white chocolate cheesecake, the yummy protein treat filled with marshmallowy center, covered in white chocolate. So 'tis the season to save and to give your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. So go to Built.com for these incredible tasting new bars and 20% off everything. Head to Built.com and enter the code LOCKED20 before it's too late. So we know the Orioles haven't been very active in free agency or the trade market so far. They've, you know, claimed a couple of guys on waivers and whatnot. We'd like for them to be more active, but teams are getting very active right now, and it's going to continue here on Monday and Tuesday because, as we know, the CBA expires on Wednesday, and you know, all reports have said that the owners and the Players Association are not going to come to an agreement by then, which means on Wednesday evening, we're going to start a lockout here in this offseason, which is a transaction freeze, as I've talked about. No signings, no trades, no anything is going to happen here. And, you know, they moved up the non-tender deadline to Tuesday night to try and get that done before the lockout here this offseason, which is something we'll talk about. But there was really a flurry of moves across baseball, and, you know, they really didn't have to do much with the Orioles. But, you know, some teams are adding some players. And really the big one on Sunday, Marcus Semien signed with the Texas Rangers. And this is kind of big for us here because, you know, it's not like Semien re-signed with the Blue Jays or signed with the Yankees or signed with a team that's just coming off a playoff appearance. They signed with the Texas Rangers, a team that was competing with the Orioles for the worst record in baseball in 2021. But the thing the Rangers have done is they said they're going to try to compete once again here quickly. And Marcus Semien, who is 31 years old but is coming off, you know, the season of his career, finished third in AL MVP voting, got a seven-year, $175 million contract from the Texas Rangers. And I know the Orioles and the Rangers are in different spots. The Rangers had, you know, a little more success. Obviously, they have owners who are more willing to spend money as well. But both teams have been almost equally as bad over the last couple of years. Yet, the Rangers are diving right back in, and they made some trades this year and chipped off some players over the last year or two in the offseason at the trade deadline. But they're going for it with a 31-year-old Marcus Semien who's playing his best years of baseball right now. And they did it for 7 years, $175 million. And the thing is, you know, why couldn't the Orioles do this? This is the move that has signaled for Rangers and their fans that we're diving back into it. And, you know, we don't know how much more the Rangers will spend this offseason. They also signed Cole Calhoun to a deal to play in the outfield for them next year. Obviously, Calhoun, not nearly the same player he was a few years ago with the Angels, but is still, you know, at least a above replacement level major league outfielder with a good experience and a veteran that they're adding. But for the Rangers, you know, maybe they won't compete in 2022, but I think this is their sign that, hey, we're spending money now so that it can all come together by maybe 2023, that we can really be a competitive baseball team again. And the Orioles, you know, the year we keep talking about is 2023, that maybe they'll be a competitive baseball team again by that year. But you got to start to spend money to show that that's going to happen. The Rangers did that yesterday, and the Orioles, you know, really have not done that so far. And how about another team who has kind of been in the same spot as the Orioles? The Miami Marlins. I know they kind of had that, you know, bounce back, really good shortened season where they made the expanded playoffs in 2020, but they were bad once again in 2021. Well, they dished out some money on Sunday. They signed Avisail Garcia, the outfielder, to a four-year, $53 million contract. You know, that is a pretty team-friendly deal where, you know, Garcia is only getting about $13 million a year, a guy who's been a really good outfielder over the past few years with the Brewers and with the White Sox and with other teams as well. But, you know, a deal with the Marlins, who have good pitching, really need hitting, and, you know, maybe they're not a playoff team in 2022, but they are getting pretty close, and they went out and they signed a bat, and good for them. And again, why can't the Orioles make a deal like that? And that's, you know, kind of the theme here. You know, why can't the O's make these deals if teams like the Marlins and the Rangers are making deals as well? Of course, there were some other signings that happened over the weekend. One of the big ones, Byron Buxton agreed to an extension with the Twins, reported 7 years worth $100 million after his, you know, great numbers before his, again, injury-plagued season this year. But nice for the Twins to lock him up. Of course, this is a signing you could see from a mile away. The Rays have signed Corey Kluber to a one-year, $8 million deal, which is, you know, it has incentives in it as well. But a guy who struggled with injury over the last couple of seasons with the Rangers and the Yankees. But if he's healthy, you know, he was a Cy Young winner just a couple of years ago. And obviously the Rays will take a guy like that and add him to their rotation. We have news that the Kevin Gausman is expected to sign. Max Scherzer is expected to sign in the next couple of days. The Mets are in on Scherzer. Looks like the Blue Jays and the Giants are in on Kevin Gausman as well. Also, the Mets made some big-time moves this weekend. Actually made three moves in one day to add to their team. They added to their outfield by signing Mark Canna, added to the infield by signing Eduardo Escobar, who I thought would have been a good signing for the Orioles. Escobar signed for 2 years, $25 million. That would have been perfect for the Orioles to stick at second or third base. 2 years, $25 million to swing it. They didn't do it. The Mets came in and got him. As I said, they signed Mark Canna as well. They really just have, you know, added to their team pretty well, and the Mets are trying to get better as they added Starling Marte to their outfield as well. And then a couple of other more minor moves. Hector Neris, 2 years, $17 million to the Astros, the reliever. And the Blue Jays upgraded their bullpen as they got a three-year deal done with Yimi Garcia, the former Astros and Marlins reliever. And then, obviously, the other big one to talk about, the Wander Franco extension is official. 11 years, $182 million. As Wander Franco signs the extension with the Rays after his rookie year, there's also a $25 million club option for the 2033 season, which would be the 12th year of the contract. So potentially he could be with the Rays for another, you know, 12 seasons. He could be a free agent again after the 2033 season potentially. And there's a good chance he spends all those years with the Rays, the top prospect in baseball who looked fantastic in his rookie year this year. The Orioles could see him for a long time. And the reason why I wanted to bring this one up as well is, you know, this is something the Orioles should think about with Adley Rutschman. If he comes up next season and he looks really good in a big sample size in 2022 in the big leagues, you want to sign a guy like that. Now, maybe you wait one more year. Maybe you give him another full season in 2023 before you pull that trigger. But the guys are only going to get more expensive. And if you know that player is going to cost, you know, $200 million or more, sign him out to a 10-year contract. Give him, you know, $200 million. And, you know, just get him on your team for years to come. Show him that you're invested in Rutschman. Show him that you want him to stick around for a while. Show the team, the organization, the fans, you're investing in your top prospect, the guy you think is going to be an all-star and your best player and hopefully lead you to the playoffs and a World Series. Invest in him. The Rays don't spend a lot of money, but they just gave out potentially over $200 million guaranteed money to Wander Franco. And again, why can't the Orioles do it as well? Obviously not something they'll have done yet with Rutschman not even playing a game in the big leagues yet, but something I would love to see them do maybe here in a year or two. But we know the Orioles aren't going to be very active here, you know, even though this CBA deadline on Wednesday means teams want to get these free agent signings done. And frankly, the players want to get these signings done because they want to know where they'll be playing before this lockout so they don't have to scramble maybe in February or March when the lockout ends and they got to move places, get to spring training, whatever it may be. They want to know now. And you can get why both sides want to get these deals done. So expect a, you know, flurry of more moves over the next couple of days before the CBA expires on Wednesday. But here on the podcast, we will be back tomorrow, and we will be talking about a move the Orioles did make last week, but wasn't really a big one. It's Cionel Perez, the left-handed reliever who the Orioles claimed off waivers from the Cincinnati Reds last week. Perez, who spent a little bit of time with the Astros at the beginning of his career, but finally got a real shot at the major league level out of the Reds bullpen last year. Had varying results. The stuff was good at times, but the numbers not great. That's why the Reds DFA'd him. And we'll talk about tomorrow what he could bring to the Orioles as Jeff Carr, the host of Locked On Reds here on the Locked On Podcast Network, is going to join us to talk about Perez's season with Cincinnati and why they DFA'd him and what he could bring to the Orioles next year. So again, that's coming up on tomorrow's episode. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.